I'll continue this week in talking about sin. Romans, in fact, let me just do a recap really quick so that we can bring you up to speed, because we talked about Romans 3:23. We made mention of that one in the first lesson. And that passage says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So what we're doing is we're approaching the subject not as that subject that makes you feel really, really not good about who you are. And, you know, in my training in school, we were taught, in order to really get people saved, you got to really let them know just how bad they are. And so you press the sin button. They got to know. And but then the Bible says that it's love and kindness that drew us. So I'm kind of confused. That do we draw with love and kindness, or do we just make you keenly aware of your sin? But if you understand what sin is, you understand, as we started, God's view, his perspective of sin, how he sees it. And if we can begin to see it as he sees it, then it has a different meaning to us, and we can put it where it needs to be, put it in its right place, so that it doesn't own any more territory in our lives that it should own. Because it really should not be our focal point. It should not be the thing that we wake up to in the morning thinking about our sin. We shouldn't have to come to worship and be bogged down by this thing called sin. So there's a place for it, and to know what God does with it, how he sees it, how he responds to it, and what he's given us in truth to respond to it is very vital to our forward progress, to our moving ahead in the things of God. And so the first thing, of course, is to realize that there is a truth and that we have all sinned. Say, we've all sinned. And this is an easy one. Just look next door and say, you know, you sinned and you sinned and you sinned. We all know. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you sinned. You sinned. We've all sinned. It's true. Whether you want to admit it or not, it is the truth. You've sinned. You sin. You will sin. It's just a reality. God is not twisted about that. More religious people, heavy-duty religious people, are more preoccupied with that than God is. So we talked about that. We talked about the fact that there's the sin nature, which is something that, unfortunately, we were all born with. The only person that was not born with the sin nature was Jesus. So we're born with this nature. We're born with this propensity to sin. There's a thing in us that wants to do wrong, even though we know right and have elected to do right, determined to do right, fight to do right. There is still that nature, no matter how deep you get. I don't care how much you pray, how much you fast. And I've watched that over the years. Growing up as a Pentecostal boy, we thought if you fasted long enough that you would be okay, that you're not going to do some certain things, only to get the revelation that when you start fasting, you start fooling with the flesh. And when you start fooling with the flesh has this kickback. It wants to do its thing. It wants to express itself. So you got the sin nature. And then you have the act of sinning. Now, the act of sinning is something that we also deal with as a reality in our own lives at some level or the other, which is the problem. The problem is no one can get out unscathed. Everyone has sin in their lives on some level or the other, which simply points to the reality that you need somebody to fix that problem. And it's impossible to fix it by yourself. And even if you get all of the holiest people in the church together around you, and if they form the chain around you and just walk with you every day of your life to help you, they can't stop you from sinning. You're going to sin, because the first thing you're going to do is get mad at them and say things that you shouldn't say. So there's the act of sinning. Now, we all sin, as a consequence of living as human beings who have this sin nature. That's different than practicing sin where you are just doing your thing because you want to do your thing. And you have no regard for what God has said. You just do it. You know? A lot of people, many people sin out of immaturity. People sin out of ignorance. Some people just don't even know what sin is. Today, you know, people will get together and move in together and start a family together and not marry each other. And because it's so common in our culture today, and it's an acceptable lifestyle today, and it's almost like, well, you're an old fogey if you bring it up, and people go with it, and to the point now where people don't know that it's not right. Now, the thing about sin that's interesting, it's not right because God doesn't want you to have a relationship. It's not that God denies the fact that you love that person. It's none of that. It's simply that there is an order, and the order is designed to make your life the best. That's all. God is not trying. Any prohibition in Scripture is purposed to make your life the best possible life you can have as a human being in the kingdom of God. And it's the best life that you can have. And remember, God does not do he's not a sharpshooter. He's more of a shotgun blast kind of a guy. So what he does is, you know, he hit that relationship, but that relationship affects other relationships. Yeah. And those relationships affect other relationships. And you know, it's one big old world with one big old group of people that all belong to him. And he's saying, I want everybody to be able to have the high life, the best, better than Miller. I mean the real high life. And so there's a way to do it. So when we find out that something is not the right way, the best quality of life for us to live, then you say, well, let's just stop that. And of course, it's not that easy to just say, just stop that. Sometimes, some stuff you can just say, just stop that, and you just stop it and you're done with it. Other things, it takes a while. You have to wrestle, or it wrestles you. Right? And there is the difference between a Christian, a real believing, born-again Christian, and a sinner. The born-again believing Christian discovers what is right and wrong, elects to do right, sometimes gets it right, sometimes gets it wrong, but at the core of their being, they want to do it right, and they try. And every failure that they experience in trying, they understand that there is a Savior who shed blood to make it possible for them then to go back to God and say, you know what? I tried, and I tried again, and I continue to try. And what I've realized is, well, some of this I just can't do without you. I want to do the right thing, but I'm telling you it's tough, so I need you. And the Lord said, well, good. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a good little pastor. I'm going to give you some brothers and sisters. I'm going to give you some folk that's been there, done that. They're going to tell you about it. Now, if you're willing to listen, if you're willing to take some direction, if you're willing to receive some instruction, if you really want to do the right thing, I'll package it up for you so that you will have enablers around you to do right. Yes, sir. Now, the sinner doesn't want any of that because they're not interested. They're not interested. And in many cases now, because I love in the Scripture when it talks about the uninformed. There's a distinction between the uninformed and the unbeliever, and then you have the straight heathen. And there's a difference. The uninformed people just don't know. And they need to be made aware, but not in a threatening, demeaning, ugly religious, you know you going to hell kind of way. But, you know, sometimes it could be years before you say to them, now you know there's a better way to do that. I'm a fisherman. Now, my granddaddy them and uncle them, they just country folk. So we didn't really fool around with too much beyond catfish, some buffalo. We didn't do trout. We wasn't sophisticated enough to do trout. Some perch. But the fish that you have to scale, I remember Grandpa taking them out back to scaling those fish. I never seen him scale a fish while he was pulling them in. I never saw that. In fact, the fish didn't even get food until he got home. Got him in the backyard, he had an old tree stump. That's when the fish got dealt with. But it was some time between the cast, the nibble,
yes, sir,
pulling them to shore,
yes, sir,
hollering, Nolan, get the net. Scooping them up, bringing them in. Then you got to put the little hook in his mouth, put him back in the water so he can stay fresh until you get to the tree stump.
Yes, sir.
But he put him back in the water and let him just stay there. Sometimes that was hours. Just swimming around. Thought he was free. That was always the thing that tickled us, the kids. You would look at him, this guy think he's free. He don't realize that thing is in his mouth. So when you talking about ministry to people, in the uninformed, you see, the unbeliever is a tough guy because the unbeliever gets it conceptually. But can't embrace it and adopt it. So it's like the kid that grabs the food and you put too much food on the plate, a little Ari. Sometimes you just stuff a little mouth. But won't swallow.
Okay. Good point. Yes, sir.
So the unbeliever can come here week after week after week after week and get the information in their mouth, but never swallow. So you gotta have wisdom, you've got to have patience, it's gotta be capped off by love in order to just walk a while with some people to explain to them what's really happening with this thing. So you don't rush and just start, you know, doing like we did and start stripping them down. Okay, now you gotta take that off. You gotta wipe that off. You got to stop doing this. You got to stop doing that. We talked about how Jesus dealt with sin many times is he saw it and never addressed it. Because sometimes people, they just need the contrast. You know, if you live in it, and I mean living it not as in a pretentious religious, I put it on for you when I see you way. But I mean, if people really get to hang out with you and they start to see and experience and watch and feel the difference, and even when you hit bumps in the road, because I'm one of those people that believe that people should see you go through hell, people should see you fall, people should see all those things, because the recovery process is totally different with a believer than it is for a non-believer or uninformed or heathen.
Yes, sir. Amen, sir.
The Bible says we fall. And we fall again and again and again and again. We do. But we recover. Doesn't take us out. Yeah. It might delay some thing, but even in that, he calls all things to work together for good. And he'll take some craziness that's happened, that's gone down, even by my own choices.
Yeah.
And I've seen him. He'll do it. He'll take that and repackage it. You know? You know how they repackage products and then they say new and improved. And God will take your bad decisions, your bad choices. He'll take your mess and he'll repackage it and bring you back new and improved. And the folk looking like, now how did that happen? Only with God. Only with God. Come on now. And that right there, I tell you something now. That what happens with that is people are drawn. They're drawn to that. People see that it's fascinating. It's fascinating. You look at it and it's like, wow, I mean, how's this? And so that's what really works to bring people to understand why we don't do certain things and why we do certain things and why we really grow to be able to honor, celebrate, and value the words of our Father. Jesus said, "If this is the bread that we live by." Amen. And so I want to do right. So we find that God hates sin and all of its implications. He hates sin and all of its implications, but he doesn't hate the sinner. He hates the sin. He hates what the sin produces in our lives. He knows the pain of sin. He knows the damage. Some things will never be the same again. You know, in with cars, in my mind, I used to think, well, if you got insurance, what's the big deal if you get into an accident? You just get the car fixed, and hopefully you didn't get jammed up so that you don't have to get repaired. But they said some cars with certain accidents, the insurance company will patch it up, but the car will never be the same again. The thing that always humors me is when I see a car coming down the road with a bent frame. It's like walking like this. The Lord knows that sin will have you walking like that when you're not supposed to walk that way. Now listen, you're walking. You're breathing. Your heart is beating. You can still see, smell, taste, feel, and hear, and all that good stuff. But it ain't like it was before it was damaged by sin. That's the only point. He ain't trying to stop you from a good time. He's the creator, the inventor, the architect of a good time. In fact, the best time will be found in him. And I ain't talking about this stuff we manufacture, we call church, we bouncing around. No, no, that's okay. But no, there's some real life experiences in walking with God that makes life better and sweeter than bear meat. Right there. It makes it better. You can't get a better life. I remember living as a stupid person. And then you did stupid things. You woke up and you decided. You even planned out stupidity. And you were willing to finance it. I mean, you'd find extra money to finance your stupidity. And without the contrast, you think it's good. Nothing like waking up with a really bad, ugly hangover and thinking you had a really good time. That to me, now that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. You can't have C, stomach is flipping, you can't eat, you can't, your head is hurting, and you might even have a little fragrance. I mean, it's just wrong. Might have had your head down in the bowl. I'm preaching right now. I know I'm preaching. I'm just telling you, I'm not even going to get to half of what I was going to say today because this is good enough just the way it is. But I'm just telling you, there's a reason why God doesn't like sin. It's a reason why, in fact, he hates sin. Because it produces abnormalities in the lives of human beings, the ones he created and loved dearly, and it makes them walk this way.
All right. Yes, sir.
Yes. And that's not his plan or design. He wants you to be smooth and easy. That's what he wants. So he hates it, but he's madly in love with you. Madly in love with the sinner. Another piece the church got to get right. We're always berating sinners. We love protest, and every time I look on the CNN, and you know, of course, the CNN, that system is going to always promote anything that makes us look ridiculous. And it does look ridiculous when we get our signs out and we're marching in front of the abortion clinic and we're marching in front of the gay parades and all this and telling them they're sinners and God hates them, they're going to hell. It's not from the Bible. It's from humanistic thinking and religion that stinks, and that it shuts the door of opportunity for people to come and get what God's got for them. Quit trying to scale the fish. Right. Okay. Let's learn how to love like he loves. Yes. I mean, wildly in love with you. Wildly. Crazy. This is, what is that song called? Crazy Love? Is that a movie? Crazy Love. Crazy Love. Thank you. All right, work it now. If you think about it, it's crazy love. Because even before the foundation of the world, he made up his mind. He's going to fix a way. My God. So I'm still recapping. I'm not going to get to anything other than a recap. So sin is a thief, we learned, that robs of our ability to rule as we were created, our ability to have peace and joy, simplicity of life. That's what a life without sin is. It's simplistic. The moment we introduce sin, it gets complicated. It gets complicated. Now it's like, okay, you know, you lies start happening because you got to have a lie to fix the other lie. And some more lies for that, you know. And then it's stressful. Sin is stressful, too. So it's a thief. Robs us of our liberty to express real love. Robs us of healthy relationships. Robs us of our ability to cause the kingdom to come forth in the earth as it is in heaven. So that's why he hates it. We talked about the fact that sin is a predator. And we went to Genesis where Cain was upset. And the Lord said, well, sin is crouching at the door. Sin lies crouching at the door as a predator. Wanted to take advantage of you. Wants to bring your life down to his worthless life. But the Lord told him, he said, but no, you rule over it. You take control. I might just take an extra few minutes today just to get some of this done. So in Hebrews 4, real quick, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. So here we are, we have Jesus. Jesus who came as a man, fully God, fully man. He came. One of the reasons he came was so that he can have the full human experience like we have. So that when we are speaking to him as he is presently, his present ministry is as our advocate. His present ministry is praying for us to make it, pulling for us. That's always good to note that no matter where you are and what you feel, that there's a Jesus that sits at the right-hand side of the Father who's pulling for you and who's praying for you. And this Jesus experienced every temptation like you've experienced, but the only thing that's different is he didn't yield to it. He subdued it. He subdued it. He didn't yield. He subdued it. He brought it under subjection. When the Bible talks about pulling down strongholds, it's talking about wrong thinking that will cause you to do wrong things. Jesus was able to do that very, very successfully. He said, now, he said, we are able to come before this throne with boldness. How many know that that's a benefit and a blessing? I was talking about this yesterday in terms of in the context of prayer. The fact that when we come to God, one of the things that we should be doing, keep this in mind in your 10 minutes, is you should be telling God about your sin. But I'm not talking about bringing it with guilt and shame and condemnation. That's the norm. The norm is you kind of whisper it out to him, and you've said it a few times before, so you really don't want to really say it again because you think he's tired of hearing you say it because you're tired of hearing yourself say the sin that you keep committing, although you don't want to commit the sin. But what you want to do is you want to be able to bring it because God wants to be a partner with you on it to help you to come out of it. When you say it out loud, it helps you. Because it reminds you and it helps you not to get comfortable with it. You don't want to get comfortable with the sin. You don't want it to become a roommate. Right. or business partner, you want it to go. So you're putting it on alert every time you say it. You're not, or putting it on notice that you're really not welcome here. I know you're here, but you're not welcome here as a guest. So you bring it before God. You can approach the throne boldly. You have the right and privilege by virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ. You've got the right and the privilege to come to God and say, you know, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with right here. I don't like it. I don't like it in me. I don't like it on me. I don't like what it's doing to me. I don't like what it's doing to my wife. I don't like what it's doing to my children. I don't like what it's doing to my coworkers. I don't like what it's, because you have to know that sin is not an exclusive kind of a deal that just is self-contained and maintained. No, once you start, it starts to affect all kinds of stuff. It's like cancer. Yes. If it's not dealt with, if it's not arrested, it gets crazy. Are y'all with me today? So he said, we have a high priest who understands this. You got Jesus who understands this sin thing, and he knows what to do with it. And the one thing he's telling you to do with it is bring it to him. Yeah. Come on, let us reason together. Yeah. Let's talk about it. Don't hide it. Don't let it be hidden, and don't let it put you in hiding either. Isolation, number one enemy, a tool of the enemy. If he can get you isolated off to yourself and your own thoughts and your own way of handling these things, I guarantee you, you will not experience success. Hello? And so I wanted to point out some realities about sin. Okay? Number one, you will be tempted by it. I don't care who you are. You will be tempted. Jesus was tempted, you'll be tempted. So I know this sounds very simplistic, but some people, I think, lose sight of this, or at least are not conscious in the way that they need to be to say, you know, I could get hit at any time. You know, if you've been in an accident, or if you've ever experienced a burglary or robbery situation, it is one of the strangest psychological things that you deal with, because, you know, you have no plans, no thoughts, no anticipation. You're just going along about your life, and all of a sudden, bam. And then you're left with dealing with it, the aftermath of it. You're left with that, and there's nothing you can do. You can't rewind the tape and not make it happen. You could just, you just have to pick up the pieces and work with it and go from there. And when you're tempted, you know, if you're not aware of the fact that you could possibly, you can get hit, and it can hurt you a whole lot worse than if you are aware. When you're aware as a driver, then you drive both what? Defensively and, but many people just do what? Offensive. They're not anticipating the dum-dum. They're not anticipating the guy that's texting and he's weaving, bobbing, weaving. So in our walk, we have to anticipate some things. So you have to know, you will be tempted. Say it, I will be tempted. I will be tempted. And I don't care how deep you are, even and particularly in the areas that you've overcome in. Those are the blind sides. You think you got that covered, so you take the pressure off. But you want to keep the pressure on all the areas. Say, no, you can't come in here. So you leave that door. You keep that door closed and locked. And then you go back and you check to make sure nobody left it open or left it cracked open. Y'all following what I'm saying now? I'm just giving you some wisdom here. You know, it's wintertime. Some of y'all sealed your windows to keep the air from coming in and sucking up all that NICOR bill. But every now and then you got to go back, because you fool around and the adhesive coming loose. Yes, it does. And there's a little pocket there, and you say, now where's that draft coming from? So you got to go back in there and get your hair dry and warm it up a little bit and seal that baby back up. It's the same way. The reality is, you will be tempted. Jesus was tempted, and the Bible says the tempter left for a season. See, make his rounds. If I don't get you in the wash, I'll get you in the rinse. That's his mentality. I'll be back is right. So you will be tempted. So don't act like you won't. Don't get so deep that you think you got all the bases covered. You got to make your round like the night watchman and check it. Make sure that door's locked. Check it. Make sure this window's locked. And then you come back around, you do it again. And you keep doing it. You keep doing it. And then, you know, every now and then you realize, man, I left that door open. I didn't even remember. Because you're getting old now. How about you getting old? So you got to go back and check the door. Make sure that back door is locked. Number two, reality about sin, there are times that you will succumb to it. I don't care how hard you try. You had your 10 minutes, morning meditations, family night Bible study, Sunday morning serving, worshiping, good network of friends, brothers and sisters alike. Obeyed everything the pastor said. The little man said, move left, you move left. The little man said, move right, you move right. But still, found yourself succumbing. And you say, how did that happen? It's called being a human being. It's the human experience. It's the human reality. But the thing of it is, see, we're freaking out. And it's at that spot, the place I just described to you, is that spot that many believers become paralyzed. When I'm at home, if I tell my wife I don't want her to see me doing something, I tell her I become invisible, I just freeze and pull. I say, you can't see me. Many believers, they succumb to it. They come in the sanctuary, they come to the church, and they just, you can't see me. I can see you. God can see you. The angels can see you. Stop freaking out. Stop being paralyzed. Stop receiving that. Stop receiving that sentence. You've exiled yourself because you were a human being. As though God didn't know you were a human being when he saved you. As though God didn't know you were a human being when Jesus shed his blood. As though God didn't know you were a human being when he said, I will bless you beyond measure. He knew you were going to succumb even when he said, I will withhold no good thing from you. He doesn't look at it the way we look at it. If we're not careful, we keep talking to ourselves and sharing with ourselves the same untruths that will paralyze us or lock us down. We'll never move forward. New mercies every day. What do you get them for? Pick that thing up. I succumb. But it's not going to define me. And I'm determined it's not going to live here. It's not going to live here. That's my determination. And when I pray, I say, Daddy, listen. We're going to work on this together. Strengthen my spirit, man. Holy Spirit, do you now. And you got all these creative ways of doing you. Whatever you need to do, do it. So that I don't continue to stay in this place. I want to go higher. I want more. I want to walk in the way. Now, the more, I could go there, but I won't long term. But short term, the more doesn't mean that you just get deeper. The more means you become productive. You're useful to him. You're available to him. That somebody else got to know him the way you know him and got to fall in love with him the way you've fallen in love with him. That's what I need more of. I'm as saved as I'm ever going to be. I told somebody years ago, you can't get no more saveder. Somebody was singing a song on the radio yesterday, and if I live right, if I do something else right, I said, no, I don't care what you do right. It doesn't count like what he's done right. Anything you do after that is because of what he did, not because of what you've done. Hello? Okay, I'm almost done. Number three, you'll be impacted by it. You will be impacted by sin. Everybody here. You will be impacted Now, I'm talking about your sin and the sins of others. The whole world is in turmoil right now because of the sins of others. If you follow, if you track the whole Middle Eastern thing, they go all the way back to Abraham and Ishmael. You just go all the way back. One man decides he's going to take matters into his own hand. And here we are. It's not in isolation. That's why as a body, he said, you're a body with many parts. You're connected. And I don't care what you think you're getting away with in your own little rebellion, in your own selfishness, in your own whatever it is that you won't let God have. Hello. Whatever it is that you won't let God have, that you learn to live with, we all get hit by it. We all affect one another. So, but what do you do with that? What do you do with that? Well, so now you got to go to work. I got to help you. You got to help me. We got to realize that, okay, we're in this thing together. And I need you because you're going to get tempted and you're going to succumb. And that's a reality. But I don't have to leave you there. And the last thing I want to do is judge you like you're the only one having that real experience. In fact, in Galatians 6:1, he said, now, if you catch somebody else having the human experience, you who are above the human experience and have entered the realm of the supernatural and understand the supernatural's perspective on this, you restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering your own stinky stuff. That was the Nolan's version. The NWV. Nolan Warren version. So those are the realities of sin. And the last one is, you can and will rule over it. Now that's the piece that's real. You're going to always have some aspect or dimension that's going to be like wildfire, but that's going to be more the exception for you and not the rule. As a believer, your primary experience, the thing that you'll witness more often than not, is not the succumbing, but the overcoming. There's some things I used to do I don't do no more. Some places I used to go, I don't go no more. Some experiences and interactions I used to have, I don't have them anymore. There's some thoughts I used to have. I would plan out some things as to how I was going to be vindictive. I'm not vindictive like that anymore. Some things I used to hate, I've learned to love. So you will subdue it. And you will subdue it, not because you so this and so that, but because you have been given a partner in this game. Amen. The Holy Spirit's a teacher, a guide and instructor. He's your source of strength. He's there to give you some gifting that enable you. You can discern. You can sense the temptation coming your way because there's something inside you that sounds the alarm. This is careful warning, Will Rogers. Come on, don't get lost out there. See, before you, I wish I had about another hour just to talk about the Holy Spirit and what he will do to enable you to do what you couldn't do by yourself and on your own. And to show you some of the benefits and the advantages that you have as a believer. Some of the resources that we leave on the table that we don't utilize to be able to be victorious. In fact, I was just sharing with Pastor Jeremy, the Bible declares that I'm more than a conqueror. Yeah. Yeah. So now what does that mean? That means you have excess victory. You got extra victory. More than a conqueror. Through him. Amen. Through him. Amen. Through him. Amen. Man, I got to leave it right there, but I tell you, this is some good stuff. Own this reality. Own what the Bible says about these things. Let your mind be renewed. Let your mind be reformed. Go ahead and let it wash away some of that religious nonsense that has you paralyzed, thinking nobody can see. We can all see, because we're all in the same boat. But the real truth is, we're more than conquerors. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. We are overcomers. We have the power, the capacity to subdue sin. Cast it out. Say, you're not living here anymore. I'm not your friend. You know, you got to tell sin that. Yeah. I'm not your friend. Oh, I might enjoy your company. But that don't make you my friend. So I'm going to, on purpose, make some decisions, some choices. I got the power to repent. I got the power to repent. I got the power to turn it around. Flip the script. Change directions. Change my heading. And I got the power to reject all of the destruction that you're trying to bring to my life. You thief. You're going to rob me of my joy. Rob me of my peace. Touch my family. Touch my children. You don't have that power anymore. Jesus paid. Jesus paid. Jesus paid. He paid the price. He paid the price. Sin, you're powerless. You're a predator. You're foul. But you won't be welcomed here. I'm not going to be comfortable with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, pray with me. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this revelation. We thank you for this truth. We thank you for the finished and comprehensive work of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we know now what we didn't know before. We thank you for increased understanding. Lord, I pray that this word would just consume us, that this word would touch us, that this word would get inside us, and may we take it to the nations. May we take this love to the nation, this good news. This good news to the nation. We refuse sin's access. We refuse sin's dominance. But we will decide to cooperate with you, that we might be able to subdue sin, not just in my life, but may we empower others. May we walk alongside others. May we help them to know you don't have to live this life a pretend. You don't have to live this life. There's a better way to do it if you just reach out to it. There's a better way to do it if you call out to him. There's a better way to do it. Just cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Cooperate. Come on and tell him, Lord, I'll cooperate with you. I want the high life, the full, the rich life, the abundant life that Jesus came to give me. I want it. I want it. I want it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.